I must tell you that something has always bothered me about today's gospel. Jesus calls us the salt of the earth. But then he quickly adds, but if salt loses its taste, with what can it be seasoned? I always wondered, how does salt lose its taste? I mean, I don't know of anything that makes salt not salty. Well, maybe COVID, when you can't taste anything. But that's not the salt's fault. But if you know how to make salt not salty, you just come after Mass and tell me, because I still don't know. I have heard many explanations of this gospel and what Jesus is trying to say. But to me, it comes down to this. What do we owe God? Maybe I shouldn't put it so callously. What should our response be to God's love for us? We can see that Jesus' expectations are that once we've made a commitment to follow him, we do have some responsibilities. We have decisions to make in our world. If we look at the history of Christianity from its very infancy, we see the obligations to faith and the reaction of Christians matters by what the culture is of the world. Soon after the apostles started spreading the good news, they were rejected, and all but one suffered death for their efforts. After these persecutions settled down after several hundred years, the church went through a phase where living in a cave and denouncing the world became popular. Hardly what Jesus would suggest from listening to today's gospel. As society evolved, so did our Christian faith, and so did our personal responses to that faith. Over the accompanying centuries, specific saints served to sharpen our beliefs. And when universities were established, higher intellects defended our faith. Then the church became lackadaisical and perhaps even corrupt. A renewal was needed. And so came St. Francis and our own beloved St. Dominic in a new form of faith sharing, going out. How do we respond to God's love for us? How do you respond to God's love for you? Two generations ago, the age of my parents, they responded by coming here. The church was the place where they gathered for everything in their faith. We had altar societies, rosary societies, men's and women's clubs. We had CYO, Christian youth organizations, that sponsored socials and dances, festivals. We had celebrations for married couples. We had New Year's Eve parties in the pack. And we had Valentine's dinner, and we had that very famous bingo. And cakewalks, if you remember those. I won one once. I was only like 8 years old. Throughout all our times, people responded by commitments to consecrated life as well. Where our culture had several iterations on how we represented our faith, those that devoted their lives to God and our church kept our faith and church alive. While they have offered some constancy to our Christianity in this world, what are we to do today? Well, let's look at the culture of today. What kind of world do we presently live in? Is it Christian in its foundation? Or have we lost that great gift? If we are no longer living in a Christian world, how are we to be the salt of the earth, a light in the city, in this new world? One comic characteristic of both of God's examples and Jesus' examples are they are nothing in and of themselves. Salt has no intrinsic value unless it flavors something. In the process of that flavoring, it loses somewhat of what it is, to offer something that enriches and creates something that's new. Light has similar qualities. Light's only value is when it illuminates something. Then our attention is drawn to that that's lighted, the lighted object, and not the light itself. There's two more entities, things that I thought of which have similar properties. The first is money. It's just paper and some metal. We give it the value that it has. And money means nothing by itself. It only has value in exchange for things. Its value is as a currency for what it can be used for. And we certainly can let money become the object of our devotion. The second thing that has its value in relation to something else is love. Love is only valued when it's shared. What if we substituted Jesus' image of salt for love? I don't know how salt can lose its flavor, and I don't know how love can lose its flavor either. But what I do know is that we are called, our response to God's love is not just to love him back. Our response to God's love is to love the peace of God that dwells in every human being. God's love gives us the grace to do just that. To love not only the ones we choose, or to love ones that love us in return, but to love the lost, the forsaken. And just like salt, when you love, you sacrifice a bit of yourself. You die to yourself in offering love to another. Bishop Fulton Sheen said it this way: love is the key to the mystery. Love by its nature is not selfish, but generous. It seeks not its own, but the good of others. The measure of love is not the pleasure that it gives. That is the way the world judges. But the joy and peace it can purchase for others. In today's gospel, Jesus not only asks us to do this, he basically tells us we owe it to God. As we have been loved unconditionally, and each of us matters to God, we owe it to him and each other to love, to not hold grudges, to not judge, to walk in another's shoes, to assume good intent, to share and empathize with others. We offer our relationships with God to those we meet. We tell them stories on how God saved us, how God didn't judge us, and how God forgave us. That is what Jesus says we owe to God, to not hide the marvelous things he has done for us, because when we share these things, we bring flavor and life into a world that suffers from spiritual COVID. A world which doesn't taste and is miserable.